OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Then the only tip-off point was, I was in my room and I got a knock and she was at the door.
And I thought, that's me. I'm obsessed about my ex. I can't get her out of my mind. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I'm aching. I'm writing bad poetry.
She had two of my books of my CDs in her hand, and she was crying.
Every word of love, every ardorous gesture on my part is being met with indifference and repulsion.
And she said, she was just apologizing, saying, I'm sorry. I took these, and I shouldn't have taken them, and so I just really needed it, and she put them in my hands, and then handed me copies of every CD in these two booklets. And these are big booklets, like there were probably about 200 CDs she had stolen from my car.
She's distancing herself from me, though she's still friendly. The emails are getting shorter, the calls are getting shorter, the X's and O's are disappearing from the emails. The innuendo is completely out the window.
Okay. This probably is the source of the fruit. This is probably the source of the weird messages. That's pretty insane.
I'm being morphed into the old friend category. The kind of mentorish older ex-boyfriend that one, a go-to guy for crisis points in the life when one needs to be reassured that they're loved and admired. But stay away from me. That's the general message.
Finally, at 5 in the morning one morning, she started playing a Madonna song with my name on it at full blast. It, like, hooked up speakers to it.
Which song?
Something about Jesse and Rainbows. I don't know what it is.
Ride the rainbow to the other side. Get your
she was a floor below me, and it sounded like I was playing a CD in my room. And I just heard this screaming outside. I'm like, I fucking love you. I love you. We started banging on my door. And again, I just had to think that it was like a friend or something, or someone drunk. And I was almost about to, like, answer, because up doing a paper and being like, okay, guys, until it hit me. Noah actually called my phone, and was like, dude, like, get in your room. Like, it's her. And, like, locked my room and was totally freaked out, and she was banging on it and basically had to be taken away from the scene.
So you called.
And then, no, someone else did. I mean, the whole entire dorm was up. I would have thought she had Marshall Stacks in her room. It was the loudest music I've ever heard.
I'm a merry pro-bound of levels and white turtle doves, leprechauns floating by.
But then when security came, she's like, no, I'm just in love, I'm sorry, it was a little bit loud. And it was like, okay, that's fine. And then, like,
wasn't the security guard like, congratulations?
Congratulations for being in love. And she was like happy at that point. And then she took off and no one could find her.
So I'm reading this article and it's talking about how orgasm is the way a woman decides on her mate. It's a peculiar, inexplicable thing in females that evolution has designed to help a woman pick her mate. And so I'm thinking, well, I wasn't generating enough of the big O's to keep the dance going, and now I'm being jettisoned. And those, well, I don't want to go down that path, but, well, now I'm having trouble maintaining the jocularity, and I'm entering a depressed phase out of the manic thing. You just actually witnessed the transitional period. then it's going to be difficult to finish this piece for Nick. Then I probably should start wrapping it up anyway, because I'm starting to wonder about that email. Who emailed me? I hope it's her. Wouldn't it be great? But it's a little late for her. She's an early sleeper, but she's on vacation, which is a cause for great anxiety. I'm imagining all the carrot-shaped lumberjacks that are catching her eye while I'm sitting here. Whoa, there's a metaphor. The police are chasing someone down the highway. Someone's got trouble, a speeder, and they must be apprehended. Nothing more dangerous than somebody 5 miles over the limit when there's no one on the highway. But it generates a lot of dough for the community. Pads the public coffers when they make those speeding stops.
She came back to my room that night. I've just never seen someone crying and laughing and then like swinging back and then kind of getting like sexual for like a second and me being like, what the hell? And I just be like, and then start crying and then laughing. And what it came down to was that it was all about music, the whole thing. And it was, I was the cosmic embodiment of the sound. The sound being like the spiritual sound of the universe, and that we were going to take over the world together. But the thing is, you got to remember, 2 weeks of dating this girl and a mutual breakup has meant for me years upon years of just like quasi terror. I still think I'm going to hear from her. She found my home number from where I grew up, and however she found that is just beyond me. Next year at school, at our house off campus, we were going in to our house all dark, went back in, we're walking in a room, and turned on the lights, and she was just standing in our living room. She said that she sympathized with Jack Nicholson's character from The Shining, which is by far the scariest image you could have. Until people really told me that it was mean and cruel, my plan was going to be that if I ever saw her, just to play along with it, I would just be like, yes, like we have reached phase 3 in our takeover of the world. Meet me in 3 years in Seattle. If I am not there, wait 7 years. If you see me or contact me in the meantime, plan Garshapon is screwed. That would be the only way that I could get this mess behind me. But the thing is, that you have to remember, 2 weeks.
I want to check the email, but I do know it's my wacky friend in California telling me about something he's bought. He has a lot of money, he buys gadgets, and it keeps him from thinking about his issues. I had a friend who took his life the other night. And, don't do that. As insane as you feel. Be a pain in the ass to everyone with your insanity. You know, make a sport out of it. I mean, if you're gonna be crazy, at least rustle people up, these straight neck, close to the vest, proper people. Irritate him a little bit. Do off-the-wall things. Grimace a lot and spin around in your office chair. You're here, damn it. Take advantage of it. You're on the right side of the grass. Who knows how long it'll last. As far as my ex goes, I love you, baby. You're always in my heart and soul. I'm actually the right one for you. Someday you'll realize it. when you're stuck with one of those aging carrot-shaped lumberjacks drinking his beer and knocking you around. And for my crazy friend in California, keep buying gadgets and keep sending me your conspiracy theory emails. I love you too. And listeners, I don't know you, but I love you in the broad sense and I wish you well. Maybe we'll chat again one day soon, although it's been a bit of a one-way conduit, wouldn't you say? Just me yakking at you, but maybe you found a nugget in there of something that you related to. Take care of Nick, too, and listen to his podcast. He's a nice fella. He reached out to me. This is Clay Pigeon in Wisconsin. I'm insane. And so are you. We all are. It's a crazy world. Hang in there.
You've been listening to Love and Radio. The name of this episode is Insane vs. Unsane. On it, we heard from Clay Pigeon, the host of The Dusty Show. The Dusty Show is no longer active, but you can listen to all the archives on WFMU.org. We also heard from Jesse, Andrew, and Luke, who all worked together at an insane asylum in the Northeast. And finally, the guy on the phone was Alan Mathewitz. And yes, he is the dad of Adrian Mathewitz, our contributing editor. Besides Adrian, the show was produced and edited by myself, Nick Vanderkolk. The Love and Radio store is open for business. Please go there and buy something nice. Go to loveandradio.org.
Madonna song. I don't think I've heard that song since, but it probably would give me just the five heebie-jeebies if I listened to it right about now.